We're continuing on the series of a book of Jonah. This is the third message. And the title of the sermon for today, if you could just look at the title, Salvation Belongs to the Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord. If you could just focus, and if I could have your ears. Okay, if I could have your ears. Salvation comes from the Lord, and I would say salvation only comes only from the Lord. A distinctive, I think it is a watershed distinctive difference between Christianity and the gospel and the only other religion. If you could just listen to this, because I know I share this often, but a lot of people just don't get this, but you need to get this. A distinctive difference between Christianity and the gospel and all the other religion, okay? All the other religion is, all the other religion is seeking to achieve salvation yourself, okay? You're seeking to achieve some sort of salvation and approval of deity through your own effort, your own work, own good deeds, own obedience, own serving, and own giving. Okay, that's all the other religion other than Christianity. However, the Christianity and the gospel begins when we see and confess that that's impossible. That's where you begin. Okay, and I want you to really get this, because otherwise you could be sitting in a Christian church and living a religious life all your life and finish it like that. I think many do, actually. Okay? All the other religion is seeking to achieve salvation through yourself, but Christianity and the gospel begins you realizing that that's impossible. It's impossible for me to go to God on my own. So God came to us, and he achieved the salvation for us. And only way we could have that salvation is he gives to us for free, by grace, we say. Do you see the difference? It's a watershed difference. It's not a small difference. It's not like every religion leads to the same thing. That's a lie. That's a complete lie. Either Jesus is a liar or that is a lie, isn't it? The both cannot be standing together as the truth. So we see that big difference, and as we see, salvation comes from the Lord, or salvation belongs to the Lord, therefore is the theme of Christianity and the Bible, period. Okay, so that's the title, Salvation Belongs to the Lord. And I don't know how many of you are enjoying reading Book of Jonah. It's like little cartoonish kind of feeling to it. How many of you are enjoying reading the Book of Jonah? If you do, you don't have to say amen. If you do, could you say amen? Amen. Wow, you guys. Book of Jonah shook my life when I was in graduate school. And I know I've been sharing this every single week. It just shook my life. Okay? When I went to Urbana 87 as a graduate student and heard Ajit Fernando, that expositor from Singapore, preach for 4 days, one chapter each day during the lunchtime, sometime in lunchtime. Listening to that, something was ingrained in my heart. Okay? Two things. Which is the theme of this book of Jonah. The first theme is the sovereignty of God. Absolute sovereignty of God. Which means God has an absolute sovereignty over all people, all things, at all times, including the sea and the dry land, as Jonah told the frightened the mariners. He has an absolute sovereignty and control and ruling over all things, all people, of all nations, of all time, including a fish. That's why he sends a great storm, he sends a great wind, he sends a great fish, And he sends a worm. He sends a leaf. He sends everything to you. Implication is, wherever you are right now, God brought you there. Wherever you are right now, God brought you there. Can we think about pandemic? Do you think if God controls the wind and God appoints a fish, even the movement of the fish, we're going to see this. Hey, swallow. Hey, carry him, transport him. Hey, vomit to a fish. You think pandemic is a coincidence that happened that without God knowing about it? That cannot be right. Sovereignty of God. That was ingrained in my heart when I was in graduate school. The second theme is that great God is a compassionate God who has a missionary heart. Missionary God. And I love that phrase. I know I've been saying this a lot over the years. Something that has taught by George Vohwer, who is the founder of Operation Mobilization, a mission organization that really changed my life. You know, I had a chance to see him like 25 years later. So happened that I went to a retreat, and he was sitting right in front of me after 25 years. George Vohwer, he was an old man, and he's the one who spoke and shook my, really rocked my life. And I was having lunch with him, and my heart was just racing. I wanted to say something to him, but I was just too, nervous, right? So I was eating, just kind of ignoring him, but all my attention was upon him. And finally, I gather all my energy and say, Mr. George Vohwer, and I need you to something. I need you to tell you something. I am an OMer, 1985, 1986. I went to Operation Mobilization, Operation France, and Yugoslavia and Hungary. And he goes, wow, so good to see you, Paul. And wow, that's good to see you. And then I told him, you know what? You rocked my life. But by what you shared when I was a graduate student, you said, our God is a missionary God. Do you know that, people? You are a Christian, Bible-believing Christian. You don't believe in sovereignty of God over your life and the missionary heart of God. I would argue, what do you believe? What is there? What is there left? What is left for you to believe? So when I told him, I saw tears in his eyes. I saw tears in his eyes, 25 years later. Okay? This book really shook my life and speak about two major themes. One is sovereignty of God, which I really pray that you would believe and you would fear God. And he has a missionary heart. So we pick up from last week, which we almost finished the first chapter, where Jonah was thrown into the raging ocean. Some of us will be going fishing trip today, and it's a beautiful day outside, but just thought of falling into the ocean, it's scary. Let alone, it was a raging ocean, right? It was not stoppable, unstoppable raging ocean. And finally, the mariners just threw him, tossed him overboard, and off he goes into the ocean. That's where we stopped. Do you remember how that happened? The mariners were basically asking Jonah, okay, what do we need to do? What shall we do that sea may quiet down? And this Jonah, who was running away and fleeing from the face of the Lord, had a twisted heart. You know, disobedient people have a twisted heart. By this time, if I were him, I would imagine really kneeling down before the Lord and just repenting before the Lord. Hey guys, it is because of me. It's because of my disobedience, and he knew it. Why don't we all kneel down and just repent before the Lord and seek mercy of God? Can we do that? Or why can't he just say, hey, turn the ship around. Let's go back to Joppa. Let's go back to where we come from. Let's go back to God. Why can't you do that? Why didn't he do that? Instead of saying that, he goes, Look, listen to this twisted heart. Pick me up and hurl me into the sea, and the sea will quiet down for you. And for I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. A lot of times disobedient people know they're disobedient, but unwilling to repent. I hope that's not you. A lot of times you know you're being disobedient, right? But you refuse to listen, refuse to turn around. That's the first chapter of Jonah that we see. However, the mariners were still a better people. I mean, I think they were better people than Jonah. Can you believe that? These unbelievers actually wanted to save Jonah. So instead of tossing him and throwing him into the oceans, they basically try to save Jonah and rowing hard and try to get back to the dry land. They actually try to save him, but they could not. You know why? Because that storm was a divine storm. You will never be able to quiet a divine storm. I am not saying COVID pandemic is a divine storm, but I know definitely it's in the hand of our sovereign God. Perhaps there are Jonahs need to repent. Jonahs need to come back to the Lord instead of falling asleep, lying down. Okay? So that's where we left off, and we want to pick up from there and go to... Okay. Here is a cartoonish picture of Book of Jonah, a great fish that Lord has appointed for Jonah. Okay? Pretty big mouth, right? Yeah, enough to swallow that disobedient Jonah. Okay. We pick up from... Therefore, they called out to the Lord, O Lord, this is the mariners. Let us not perish from this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood for you, O Lord, and have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Just like the gospel story. Remember the story of the gospel when Jesus was sleeping? There are two stories in the Bible where there is a storm and people sleeping. That's Jesus and Jonah. How do you like that, right? It takes a great faith for you to sleep in the storm. Jesus did. And Jonah, I don't know whether that was faith or just insensitivity, right? Two stories. When Jesus was asked to get up and do something about the storm, he actually got up. And do you remember what he did in Mark chapter 4? He rebuked the wind. Who rebuked the wind? Unless you are a crazy person. Only the sovereign Lord, right? He actually rebuked the wind. Peace! And be still. As he commanded the waves and the winds. Bible says in Mark chapter 4, immediately it just came to peace. Okay? It's an amazing story. Very similar to this story. They picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from his raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. That's where we left off. And I want to begin by this question. So he was tossed into the ocean, and what happened to Jonah? I mean, what do you mean what happened to Jonah? What's supposed to happen? It's a raging storm, and Jonah asked to die, so he should die. That's the end of it. Should there be more? Absolutely not. He deserved to die, he asked to die, and he really need to die, and he should have been dead. I think that's the story of Christianity, isn't it? But amazing thing is, there is more to Jonah's story. And how does that happen? It's the miracle of God. Do you know salvation is a miracle? I really believe for you to be sitting here in a church is a miracle. I really do. Oftentimes we pray, Lord, someone to walk through that door to sitting in the pew right now, it's a miracle. But I think it takes a greater miracle for any of you to truly be born again. And I really mean that. Chapter 2 of the book of Jonah is a depiction of someone who is truly born again. Here's my question. Before chapter 2 happens, Jonah lived in chapter 1. In other words, before you are truly born again, you're still living in chapter 1. Can I just ask you, are you living in obedience? I know I've been asking this question week after week after week, and you need to listen to me. You need to answer this. Don't fall asleep. Are you living a life of obedience? Or are you fleeing from the Lord? Okay. So he was tossed into the ocean. And what happened to Jonah? I think there is more story to Jonah. Is a miracle and the grace of God. You know what happened? Verse 17. It says, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Lord miraculously appointed a fish. First of all, there should be no more story of Jonah, and that's natural, and that's what he deserved, yet Lord God did not let Jonah go, which is a very, very special thing. And what I want to tell you is God's love for his people, chosen people, is forever. It's the Hesed love. So many people wonder about my salvation. So many people say, am I saved? Am I not saved? So many people wonder that. So many people are afraid of that. And I just pray that as we go through this series, after spending 2.5 years with the Gospel of John, if still not settled, I think this book might be a great book. See where you stand. And pray that you will be able to come to really solid ground in terms of your life, right? When God chooses his people, he never let go of his people. We call that Hesed love. Remember we studied the attributes of God? Hesed refers to steadfast love of the Lord. His love, his character, in spite of your faithfulness, he is faithful to his chosen people. That's the Hesed love. And we saw that, we talked about that last Friday when we were talking about what are you supposed to do when husband cheat on his wife? You know, one of the sisters asked this question, painful question. I would imagine it was some sort of personal question. What are you supposed to do? And we shared the story of Hosea and Gomer. Remember the story of Hosea and Gomer? That, you know, unfaithful wife who was sold to the slavery market, but God tells Hosea, go and purchase her. So actually, Hosea listens and pays the price, which is called ransom, and she purchases his wife, who is a unfaithful harlot kind of person, right? So he has all the right over his wife Gomer. Basically, she could slave her or she could kill her. But instead of slaving her or killing her, Hosea loved her. Okay? That's the love of God. That's the Hesed love of God. He does not let go any of you. Okay? That's the story. But what we want to see in this story is Jonah's turning around, and I hope you picture your life being turned around. Have you turned around to the Lord? Would you look at me and answer? Have you turned around to the Lord? Disobedience, obviously, is turning your back against the Lord. Lord is there, and you're trying to flee. In other words, your back is against him. You turn your back against him. But my question to you is, have you turned around and back to him? That's exactly what we see in chapter 2. Okay? So let's look at this miracle and this turning around of Jonah. Chapter 2, only made up of 10 verses, and it is very, very poetic, full of psalms, And you need to read it carefully and number of times to really see what's going on. But I want to just walk through this 10 verses with you, and hopefully Lord will speak to us. So Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish. Can you picture this? You're actually in the belly of the fish. Belly of death. Belly of Sheol. Now you're praying. Isn't it amazing? In chapter 1, everyone prays except Jonah. But finally in chapter 2, in the belly of the fish, he starts praying. And my question to you, as I asked last week, do you pray? Do you pray? You know why you don't pray? Because you can't pray. This is what I've seen over the years. People know the importance of prayer. People know it is vital to pray. People know it is a good thing to pray. People know it's the will of God to pray. But people can't pray because they can't pray. You know why you don't pray? Because you can't pray. Think about it, people. Even if you come to a place of prayer, there's nothing to pray. So, amazing thing. I think the great miracle that we witness in the story of Jonah is not that he survived in the belly of the fish for 3 days, but he turned around and began to pray to the Lord. Do you pray? You need a miracle of the Lord. You're going to need a miracle of the Lord. Otherwise, you're going to just stay and continue to perhaps live in the first chapter of Jonah, of your life. Okay, so Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. So that's sort of like the title line. I cried out, and he answered me. Now, as I was meditating about this, that's an amazing grace if you think about it. Do you think God should listen to him? Do you think God has any responsibility to listen to him? Sovereign God listening to this rascal and wayward prophet like Jonah. Should he listen to him? He doesn't. You know, years ago, I was where Jonah was. I really felt my life came to the bottom, rock bottom. And I thought, Lord has abandoned me. And I shared this testimony many times. Lord, I thought, Lord really abandoned me. And I really need to deserve to die now for good. I have the experience of chapter 2. And I remember repenting before the Lord. Lord, I repent. I repent. And I repent. I prayed for like, I don't know, an hour, 2 hours. I don't even know. I was sweating like crazy, crying out like crazy, repenting before the Lord. I was sincere. I was truly sincere. You know what happened after I prayed? Nothing. I feel no sense of refreshing spirit. I sense no like sense of, you know, God forgiving me. Nothing happened to my heart. And then I was just thinking, you know, Lord just spoke to my heart. I don't have to forgive you. I don't have a responsibility to forgive you. Do you realize that, people? Even if you repent, it is the great mercy of God for him to receive you. Jonah has no, I mean, God has no responsibility to accept him. But I called out to the Lord, and he answered me. And out of the belly of Sheol, the word Sheol means abode of the dead, which refers to hell in the Old Testament. In other words, he was in the belly, in the center of hell. It was the hell experience, death experience, at the root of death experience. And that's what you deserve, every single one of you, and me too. That's Christianity, isn't it? In the belly of the fish I cried, and you heard my voice. Let's look at the actual repentance or turning out of Jonah. It takes four stages. Stage one, verse three. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and the flood surrounded me, and all your waves and all your billows passed over me. You know what's going on? The first thing he realized, finally, is that he sees the big sovereign hand of God over his life. He began to fear him. Do you know your life is in the hand of sovereign God? Every step of the way. Your job, your spouse, your health, your money, your driving, everything is in the hand of sovereign God. Do you know that? Jonah realized, it is you, sovereign God, cast me into the deep. Now, wait a minute. Wasn't it the mariners? Wasn't it the circumstances? Wasn't it the storm made him to be thrown into the sea? Wasn't it the mariners try to save themselves? That's why they cast him over the sea? But Jonah is confessing, Lord, you cast me here. Hand of God upon your life. Do you see that, people? Wherever you are, it is the hand of God placed you there. When you begin to see that, you will truly begin to fear God. He'll be the greatest object of fear in your life. That's what happened to Jonah. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and flood surrounded me. All your waves and all your billows passed over me. Where is he? He's in the belly of the fish. He's in the belly of hell. That's where you deserve to go, and that's where I deserve to go. Jonah began to see that. Okay? What's the next step? Then he said, verse 4, I am driven away from your sight. In other words, I am abandoned. Which never happened, but he realized that, man, God has abandoned me. God, I'm done. I'm ruined. There is no more hope for me. That's what he saw. You know something? That's the beginning of true faith in Christianity. I'm done. I'm ruined. I'm nothing. That's when you could truly put your trust in Jesus. Isn't it? That's what he's confessing. I said, I'm driven away from your sight, yet I shall look again upon your holy temple. That's when you're going to truly look to Christ. When you know you're done. When you know your effort and your try and your giving and your serving is meaningless. It's like a filthy rags. That's when you will truly look to Christ. Can I ask you, brothers and sisters, have you been here? That's where true rebirth begins. Okay? So, first step was, he saw the sovereign hand of God. It is you brought me here. It is you brought my whole circumstance to here. It is you who brought me to the deep sea. And then he realized, I'm done. I'm ruined. I'm completely ruined. Okay? So he began to look to the holy temple. Verse 5, the third step. The water closed in over me to take my life, and the deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head. Life is hopeless. I look to the left, I look to the right. There's no hope. No one can save me. That's what he's confessing. He's at the water grave. He's at the belly of Sheol. He's at the belly of the fish. That's when he turned around, okay? At the root of the mountains, somehow he sensed that he's at the root of watery grave. There is no more place I could go. Somehow he sensed that, and the root of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bar closed over upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord. My God. You know, when we truly see the impossibility of saving yourself, unlike all the other religion where you try to save yourself, which is all lies. Those are false religions, right? It's completely opposite. Christianity, the distinctive difference between all the other religion and Christianity gospel is that all the other religions saying, you could do it, you need to do it, you got to try, you got to achieve it. And Christianity begins with the truth that that's impossible. That's what Jonah says right here. It's impossible. Okay? So he begins to look to the holy temple. I remember when I was hopeless, feeling abandoned by God. Even my repentance didn't make any difference in my life. Just feeling so low and depressed. Just really, I'm talking to my old mother. Okay, you know my mother. Some of you know my mother. I talked to my old mother. Mom, I only have one hope. I want to go back and be able to live for the Lord one more time. I was telling my mom that. And I totally forgot about that. Many years later, I was driving my mother home. And then she talks to me, and she's 84 years old right now. She talks to me, Paul, do you remember? Remember what, Mom? That you said when you were sick that there is only one desire you have, that you want to go back and be able to live for the Lord. I think he listened to you. He listened to you. Brothers and sisters, you could be going to church all your life. I'm serious. You could be an officer in a church. You could even be a pastor. You still may not believe in Jesus until you realize you're absolutely hopeless. Absolutely hopeless. Okay? The third and third step, verse 7, when my life was fainting away, or ebbing away, if you read NIV, I remember the Lord. I remember the Lord. What is he doing? He's turning around, finally turning around. Which totally reminds me of Luke chapter 15, story of the prodigal. Do you remember how the prodigal turned around? It wasn't when life were thriving. It wasn't when he was so popular by people. In fact, Lord made him just waste all his money. Basically all his money, and the famine came into the land, just like right now. Famine, major famine came, and this Jewish young man did unthinkable. He actually find himself, get a job in a pig's pen. You know, Jews and pigs, they're not supposed to relate. But he's so desperate, he finds a job working for pigs, tending pigs. And he was so hungry, he actually ended up eating the pods or the food of the pigs. Can you imagine that? Eating pigs' pods. And while was eating that, he came to senses. And he remembered the Father. What did he remember? In my father's house, even the slaves live better than this. In my father's house, there is plenty. In my father's house, there is my father. I need to go back. He remembered the Father. Has that happened to you? I'm serious, people. Lord wants to shine upon you. Has that happened to you? That you remember the Father and you desire to go back to him? Or you still turn your back against him? You see? So when he remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple, and he confesses, my Lord, my God. You know, as I was reading this, wait a minute, that sounds familiar. Remember the story of Thomas in John chapter 20? That doubtful Thomas, he even doubted the resurrection. He even doubted the testimonies of his close friends. We saw him. He's truly resurrected. And you know, just like Jonah, he has a stubborn heart. He has a twisted heart. I will never believe unless I see. Like so many people say in this world. I will never believe until I see it. And my question to you is, if you see, what is there to believe? But to that Thomas, who's like Jonah, Jesus shown mercy, right? And he has shown up just for him in John chapter 20. And basically showing his hands, showing his side. Look at my hands. Put your finger here. Okay? Look at my side. Put your hands here. And do not be unbelieving, but believing. You know what happened to Thomas? Thomas just kind of like broken before his grace. He just humbled himself and fell on his knees and say, my Lord, my God. Totally reminds of him. My Lord, my God. When did it happen? When his life was ebbing away, fainting away. I really think sometimes prosperity is not a blessing. If you agree with me, could you say amen? People say things need to go well so that we could be true followers of Christ. I absolutely disagree with that. Historically speaking, Western church, rich churches are weak. Historically speaking. Whereas there is persecution like the first century or North Korea or China, where there is a true persecution, we have strong, strong faith. How about you, brothers and sisters? When Lord takes things away from you, I think it is the hand of God which may be the blessing upon your life. Until you truly repent. Until you truly humble yourself. Until Jonah chapter 2 happens in your life. You may be still in chapter 1. You're back against him. Fleeing from him. Disobedient. And you're just completely just running away from him. Right? So that's what happens. What about God's response? What happened when he prayed and repented? How did God respond to Jonah? What kind of God do we see in second chapter of book of Jonah? We see the response of God in chapter 3. Okay, fast forwarding. Okay, Jonah gets a second opportunity and he goes to Nineveh and he preached the message and listened to this message. And this was the message. He finally go to this great city of Nineveh, his enemy nation, and he preached one sentence sermon. Now listen to this. In 40 days, the judgment of God will come upon you, upon this city. Go home now. In 40 days, there's going to be a judgment upon you. You know what? In a sense, Bible speaks the same thing. There's going to be a judgment upon this world. There's going to be justice, you know. People so eager to find justice, you will see justice. I promise you, you will see justice. Okay? In 40 days, there's going to be a judgment to the enemy nation. And you know what happens? Another miracle happens. What happened? The entire city repented before the Lord, listening to that message. Can you believe that? Listening to that message of judgment, the entire city, starting from children all the way to the king, they put on the sackcloth and they repented before the Lord. That's a miracle of God. How did God respond? Let me just read it to you. In chapter 3, the king said to the entire city, let everyone turn from his evil ways. Who knows? God may turn and relent from his anger, so that we may not perish. That's what the king said. And verse 10 is the response of the Lord in Jonah chapter 3. When God saw them turning, how they turned from their evil and relenting from their evil ways, God relented of the disaster or the destruction or judgment that he had said that he would do. Now, this is what it means. When God speaks, when God promises, God has to fulfill. God said in 40 days, there's going to be a judgment. So judgment needs to come upon the city. But when Jonah preached, people repented. So how did God respond to that? He relent and do not send judgment upon them. You know what? There is a very, very important gospel and theological truth here. which is an amazing truth. God relents when you repent. Now listen to me. God relents. You deserve when you repent. You know why? Because he's a compassionate God, merciful God. Aren't you glad? If he carries out what he said he will do, what's going to happen to you? What's going to happen to the world? God relents, sort of repent, when you repent, truly turn around and repent. I want to ask you, have you truly repented? Please, brothers and sisters, look at me. Have you truly surrendered and repented before the Lord? Or are you just playing a game like Jonah in chapter 1? Put so many people in danger. And your heart is not right. You know it is not right. And you go down deeper and deeper and deeper into the inner part of the ship. And you lie down and fall a deep sleep. Are you listening? Have you repented? Truly repented. Amazing gospel is, amazing theological truth is that God actually relents from his judgment when people repent. I think that's the gospel that we see in Jonah's gospel. God's compassionate, great mercy and forgiveness toward Jonah. It is extended to you. And that's the only hope we have. Would you say amen? That's the only hope we have. It's not your goodness. It's not your serving. It's not your Bible study attendance. It's not. It's not even preaching. It's his grace and mercy and compassion that he relents when his people repent. So what did Lord respond to Jonah? He answered Jonah and he brought his life from the pit. He delivered and saved, and basically so that he will come to true repentance and he will finally turn back to God. Which direction are you standing right now? Are you standing this direction? Your back against him? Prayerless? Sleeping? Don't care about the world? All I care about is me? Or have you turned around and seeking the face of God, seeking him in prayer, seek to live for him, and live the life of obedience? Which direction are you? One or the other, people? What happened to Jonah's prayer? It finishes like this. Those who pay regards to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. The word steadfast love is hesed, Hebrew word hesed. His loyal, compassionate, never-ending, never-changing love. Basically, he's saying that those who worship vain idols, if you follow the world, if you follow the patterns of this world, basically he's saying you are abandoning his hesed. That's the only way you'll get out of that, right? But Jonah is saying, I'm not doing that. But this is what I determined to do. Verse 9. But I, with a voice of thanksgiving, I will sacrifice to you. Okay? How do you do sacrifice? Can you just do one finger at a time? Can you just do partially? In Romans chapter 2, chapter 12, verse 2, offer your life as a living sacrifice. What he's doing is offering his entire life, and that's the only way you live as a Christian. Can I just tell you? That's the only way. Can you be someone's wife partially? Oh, I'm your wife on weekends. But Monday through Friday, I'm a freelancer. Can you do that? That's ridiculous, right? Can you say, Jesus, you're my Lord on Sundays? Partially. How ridiculous is that, people? I hope the Lord will speak to the core of your heart. Can you worship God partially? Offer your life. Basically, Jonah saying, Lord, now I surrender fully. And I'm going to make a vow. He said, I'm going to make a vow. And I'm going to live for you. I'm going to obey. I'm going to go to Nineveh. And I'm going to preach the message that you asked me to preach. and I'm going to be obedient unto you. Praise God that that's what happened to me when I was a graduate student. I wasn't perfect afterward. Many, many ups and downs, but the trajectory stayed the same. Intensity is much more intense right now. You sense it. I don't really care about anything. I want to live for him. I want to be obedient unto him. I made a vow to him, Lord, if you gave me a chance, I'm going to live for you. When I felt like my life was ebbing away, I was abandoned by God, I made a vow, Lord, if you gave me a chance, I'm going to preach the word. You place it in my heart from the scripture. So I'm speaking to you people. Okay? So I made a vow and I'll pay. And the final statement is salvation belongs to the Lord. It only comes from the Lord. Have you reached there? Just want to close with a final thought. Jonah's story is about salvation comes from the Lord, isn't it? Absolutely is. And I was thinking about this chapter 2, which is kind of a hard chapter because you get lost somewhere along the line. You just get lost. And I had to read it many, many, many times, carefully studying, reading the commentaries, reading the structure and things like that. And this is what comes to my mind. Not everyone reached Jonah chapter 2. Not everyone reached Jonah chapter 2. And some of them will never reach chapter 2. Right? And the thought that comes to my mind is, until you reach Jonah chapter 2, where you truly repent and turn around, you're in chapter 1. If you're wondering where you are, you're in chapter 1. Okay? Salvation comes from the Lord because of his great mercy. When you realize your life is hopeless, at the belly of the fish, at the belly of the Sheol, at the watery grave, that's when you see and look to Christ. Right? The story of Jonah is about the salvation really comes and belongs to the Lord. And then one more thought is that story of Jonah is not about Jonah. Story of Jonah is really about God. Story of Jonah is really about Jesus. Isn't that what he said in Matthew chapter 12? Just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, Son of Man will be in the heart of the land for 3 days and three nights. In other words, Jonah's story is just a shadow. And I am the real thing. Right? How is that so? The name Jesus in Hebrew is Yeshua. Right? If you watch the movie, Yeshua, which means Lord is salvation. Salvation comes from the Lord. In other words, Jesus is the Lord. And Jesus is the salvation. Just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, Jesus was in the heart of the land, heart of the land for 3 days. And just as Jonah was vomited from the mouth of the fish, Jesus was truly resurrected. Why? Because of your sin and disobedience. So that we may have chance to repent. So that he may relent toward us. Brothers and sisters, time is running out. I really do think time is running out. Time is running out, people. I'm not saying you're going to die in any moment, which could be true. But people, what I have seen is after a little while, you just kind of give up. You just go to the world. And my prayer is that you would truly turn around, right? And relent and repent to his great, great mercy of God. hesed love of God. That's the story of Jonah. It's not about Jonah. It is about Yeshua. Yeshua is the salvation. Let's pray.